Bibles, that's in the Old Testament. For the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go unto the city of Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Okay, pretty simple. Simple instructions. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, that's in Israel, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind of the sea, and there was mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken apart. Then the sailors were afraid, and every man cried out to his own God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we would not perish. And they said to one another, Come, let us cast lots that we may know whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots and it fell upon Jonah. That does not allow you to go against Law 649 this week. Okay. Then they said unto him, Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble for us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what are your people? So he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord. Apparently not enough. The God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why have you done this to us? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing even more tempestuous. He said unto them, Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will be calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Therefore the men rowed even harder to get to the land, but they could not. For the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out unto the Lord and said, We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord God, have done this as it pleased thee. So they picked Jonah up, threw him into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord God exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your everlasting word. We thank you, Father God, that you reveal your truth to us through your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our path. Your word is truth, as you are truth. Now, Lord, give us the grace to understand the things that you desire to speak into our hearts today. For we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus that we've been singing and worshiping about. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone would say, Is that everyone? Because I need agreement here in the house. Amen. Driving down in Ottawa, Alta Vista, I came across a church this week with the welcome sign in front of the church said, Welcome back to church Sunday, September the 7th. I say, Welcome back. Now, the whole idea, there are 2 theological problems with this particular slogan. Number one, if you are the church, wherever you are is the church. So, it's not really welcoming back to church because the people are the church, so wherever you be, you as the church. Number two, there is no season where you have a timeout card from the Lord's Day where you can get out of fellowship. So wherever you may be, find fellowship. But be that as it may, how was your time spent in the wilderness this summer? Maybe you didn't really go into the deeps of the depths of the jungle type of thing, or maybe you didn't really go far. I don't know. Everyone has a different kind of wilderness experience. I know that probably Brother Patterson's wife is going to do a little exercise this week. with the class, or maybe did it last week with the kids in grade one, that little exercise that perhaps you did when you were in school when you first got back, the project was called What I Did This Past Summer. Draw a picture, do a show and tell. How was your summer? What did you do? Where were you on? Where were you? It was interesting that our Ugandan church last weekend, when they came with us, and it was fun to be with them. I wasn't exactly sure who all was coming or the constituency, but it turned out to be mostly kids, single moms. And so, anyways, these are also very urban. They're also African. It's interesting, you know, the constituency that we had. When we had corn on the cob, several of them were saying, "What do we do with this? What is this?" And when they went to, it was fun to watch them canoeing. Brother Peter, and we had this great plan that Deacon Peter was going to lead his people on a canoe trip up the Mount Cher River. They never got out of the bay. They got in. They had never been in a canoe. I mean, it was like watching, you know, kids chase greased pigs at the McDonald's Farmers Fair, you know. I mean, it was they got in the canoe, they built the canoe. They get in the canoe, boom. It was like there was no, we showed them how to do things, get in the canoe. And they did this for an hour. I mean, it were more than an hour. They just kept getting in, they were having a thoroughly great time. And it was a little frustrating at first to watch, but then it kind of got fun just to watch them build the canoes in the bay, you know. They have life jackets on, and the bay only gets up to your waist if you ever been up around the lake and can't mention one. They had their wilderness experience. I thought, well, that's kind of a waste of time, you know. But, you know, Pastor Greer, he said this. He said, you know, he says, Tuesday, these kids are going back to school. He said, I appreciate Harmony Church so much and your willingness to pay the way for all these kids to come for this weekend at camp. He says, they're going to go back to school on Tuesday morning and everybody is going to be saying, I did this summer, I went to this camp, I went to this province, I went to America, I went camping, I did went to whatever camp. He said, and our kids for the first time are going to be able to say, we went to the Billy camp. We ate corn. We were at a lake. Now, my understanding of this wilderness experience is pretty, you know, they spent one night in a cabin, they ate in the cafeteria, you know, we fed them, and they went and never made it, 50 yards beyond the beach. What kind of wilderness experience is that? Doesn't sound like very much, but for them, that was their wilderness experience this summer. Last night, or yesterday, we had our Burundian congregation here at the church. The pastor was looking for places to have their church on a retreat and started looking and finding, you know, 400, 500, 600. I says, why don't you just bring them to the church then? Spend the night Friday night. So, anyways, they come. First of all, they get lost. You know, there's no street lights out here. But they all have GPS. And they came on Ormond Road, and they went past the church, past the church, past the church. Three vandals. Went to Marionville. One turned around and came back. So did you see in Marionville a whole bunch of black folks looking around? Because they looked at the church there in Marionville. See, when they got back, I said, first of all, I said, you know, because they were looking for this church, Pastor North's church, Harmony Church, this great man of God. I said, didn't you see the church? Oh, we saw the church. It couldn't be Harmony Church. We have heard so much of this man of God and his church. You come and you preach to us, and we came with pastors. I can't be it. Sorry when they saw the Catholic Church, but maybe that's Harmony Church. So their GPS was saying, here it is. They were saying, no. This little in the bush, this can't be the great Harmony Church that we've heard so much about. Anyways, so then they get here. The pastor never told them they were camping. The girls are bringing their stuff, and the one that speaks English well, because they're French and Burundian, said to me, where is our accommodation? So I took them back around, showed them the tents that we set up for them. And they, you know, they don't complain. We're just one. And so they said, where are the showers? So I walked around, picked up the hose, turned it on. And so I began to talk, I began to point, I said, well, did you not know you were camping? No, we've never been camping before. And as the others began to come in, finding this deciding that maybe because they were texting each other back and forth, they ended up finally getting here. And anyways, we had a campfire. They'd never had a campfire before. They'd never slept in the tent before. These people are, they're young people, it's mostly college age, so they're university age mostly. And they slept here on Friday night, the campfire, the whole nine yards, and anyway, it was their first time. I brought several packages of marshmallows, and they didn't know what to do with them. And we still have them downstairs for the kids because they didn't know what to do with them. It's interesting that I asked the Burundians to bring marshmallows. Those were there at the retreat. This is another interesting little thing. I bring marshmallows for the campfire. So Pastor Carrera brings in these two big bags of marshmallows. Little tiny little marshmallows. And he said, what? Do you burn them? Like, why do you bring marshmallows to the campfire? What do you do? I said, no, we put them on sticks and we roast them. Again, wilderness experience. To one, a wilderness experience is totally different. Your wilderness experience and somebody else's wilderness experiences are totally different. We have two that I want to examine briefly today. One is the wilderness experience of Jesus. And what is the wilderness experience of Jonah? There is a big difference between these two experiences. And I want you to examine your own life and say, which one of these wilderness experiences best reflects my life and the choices that I have made in my life? I submit to you that there are two different ways that we respond to crisis, that we respond to stress, that we respond to issues in our life, that we respond to the call of God on our life. So let me briefly familiarize ourselves with the two stories. First of all, you have the prophet Jonah. Thanks to Veggie Tales, everybody knows about the prophet Jonah. How he was a man of God who was called of God to serve the Lord. He was given a task to go to a Gentile city and preach repentance. He said, I'm not doing it. He said, I'm going to run as far away as I can possibly get. The furthest place in his mind was Tarshish, and so he headed down to Joppa. He found there was a boat heading to the very place. He said, praise the Lord. He got on board it. Paid his fee, went on board with it. There was a storm. You know the story. We read the story. The storm happened. He got thrown out on board. He got eaten by the fish, or some might say eaten by the whale. He was puked up 3 days later on the shoreline. It's too close to us to say puke, but anyways. He got puked on the shoreline. He got back on board with God, went, preached to the city, and the city repented. Okay? In brief. 700 years later, scroll down 700 years later, you have Jesus. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, who is his cousin. I like to use the Mark's Gospel because it's so quick. There's only two verses there. Mark chapter 1, verses 11, verses 12 and 13. You have the capitalization of this experience. Immediately, it says, after his baptism, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. What is the difference between these two experiences and how do I apply it to my life? Number one, I say that the difference is between isolation and solitude. Jonah was an isolationist. Jesus entered the wilderness experience to seek solitude. Obviously, one is a positive choice and another one is a negative choice, but isn't that the way all of our choices are? They're positive and negative choices that we make in our life. But how do I know that I'm making the right choice? How do I know the kind of choices that I've made in the past are isolation or solitude? Well, the first most obvious difference in this is which spirit drives you. In Jonah's situation, you have Jonah, and God's word comes. Where does God's word come from? By the Spirit of God. Amen? Do I got to agree with the house?
Amen.
God's word speaks to Jonah, and Jonah has the other way. What spirit is leading Jonah? His. Right? Because we are a spirit. The Bible is right there. You know, the spirit of Jonah, his own individual spirit, his own selfish, it was him. He decided to run into the wilderness. But when you go to Mark chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 4, whichever one of the texts that show about the experience of the wilderness, all of them agree in this. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. Yes, God leads his children into wilderness experiences. Sorry to let you know. But it happened. But make sure when you're in the wilderness that it was God that brought you there and not your own running away from things. That's the biggest difference. In fact, that is the difference between these two situations. Isolationism, being isolated from crisis, from situation, running away is an act of the flesh. Running toward God, running to the wilderness, even though it may not be a pleasant experience, is something that the Holy Spirit leads. Big difference between our spirit and the Holy Spirit. How do you know when it's our spirit? We make excuses for ourselves. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. My wife brought this text of scripture to me in New Brunswick when I was having difficulty with one of my elders who would not return my calls. When there was some difficulty, he would call when he was ready to talk. He literally lived on the end of a road, actually, on the dead end of a road. You know, everything about him was, I'm out here, when I'm ready to come out and I'm ready to do business, I'll come out on time. Anyways, how do I deal with this? Because he's so spiritual. I can't talk in prayer. I know he's a home pastor, but I was in prayer. We use all these spiritual kinds of talk. You know, it's hard when people use spiritual language in an argument because what are you going to fight with God? And my wife brought me this scripture from I think it's the New King James, Proverbs 18. The one, or actually says, the man who isolates himself seeks his own agenda. To me, that was like that. You know, sometimes a scripture comes and runs you over like a train hits you. You know? That's what happened to me in that scripture. It just completely gave me an understanding of the situation. I said, all his spiritual talk about all the suffering and blah, 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 whatever else, what he's doing is he's isolating himself. He's seeking his own agenda. It is a self agenda. It's not a spirit agenda. He's got plans for the church, but it's not that God has put plans in him. He's got an agenda here. He'll talk to me when he's ready to talk to me. He'll do things when he's ready to do it. It is a self agenda. Not a Holy Spirit. Excuses are one of the manifestations that we are isolationists. I gotta get away. I deserve a break. Imagine some of the excuses that Jonah may have made. I've been preaching to these people of Israel. They're hard-headed enough. I need a break. I can't go off there and preach to those people. I mean, God didn't really call me to preach to the Gentiles. I am a prophet in Israel. I don't have time to do this. I don't have the energy to do this. I'm getting old. Whatever the excuses he may have made, to not abide or hear the word of the Lord. You read Jonah chapter 1, it's pretty clear. God said, and then Jonah went the other direction. He isolated himself. He went in the other direction. He made these kind of excuses, the kind of excuses that we may make in our own life. His culture probably confirmed it when he read a book about, he wasn't really sure about this. God wouldn't tell you to go to preach to those heathen Ninevites, his neighbors may have said. It's not in your job description, preacher. We make all kinds of excuses not to do what we know is the will of God. We can make them sound so spiritual. And then there's the rationalization. That's the next phase of isolation. You begin to rationalize everything that you're doing. He's running away from his responsibilities. He goes to Joppa, and there is what? What did he find in Joppa? A ship. Where was the ship going? To Tarshish. Where was he wanting to go? What was already in his heart, self said, I'm going to go to Tarshish. He comes down to the coast from where he lives, and there is a ship sailing for the will of God. Isn't it? It must be the will of God because there's a ship there to Tarshish. I want to run away from the will of God, but you know, the Lord is gracious and there is a ship heading to Tarshish. Therefore, it is an opportunity for me to get away. Look, I have just enough money in my pocket and that's exactly the amount of money that the ticket cost. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. I'm on the right road running 100% in the wrong direction. Oh, we can make excuses. But when we learn that God does not have a plan B, He does have this grace: forgiveness for our failures and grace for our wins. Somebody say amen to that. He doesn't have plan B. Okay, so we all kind of think that, well, we'll obey now and then something happens. We say, praise God, I guess this is the direction now. No, he doesn't have plan B's already in store, but he does have forgiveness for our failures and grace for our weaknesses. He didn't crush Jonah. We know the story. He does not want to baptize our new plans. He wants us to follow in his plan. Here's what rationalization is. Listen to Chuck Swindoll on my way back from Ottawa. Visiting Sister Lynn, and he said this: rationalization is a self-satisfying but incorrect reasoning for one's behavior. A self-satisfying but incorrect reasoning for one's behavior. You've been your time in the wilderness. Was it you that put you there? Or was it God that led you there? Be careful you don't rationalize yourself into doing things that sound spiritual, but they're really just the flesh. You may be running away, and this cruise ship of opportunity comes your way, and it may take you away from your problems to exciting new places, to new journeys. It is not a one-way ticket to God's will, plan B, but it is a one-way ticket to isolation. Notice that even on the ship, Jonah isolated himself from the other crew, went down to the belly of the ship. He said, I paid good money for this. I'm going to get the best place down there, away from it all. I deserve to get away from it all. He was so consumed with self that even when the ship was being torn apart and everybody was upstairs calling on their own God, the captain finally comes down and says to him, what is wrong with you? Call on your God. Maybe he'll do something. Our God won't do anything. When you're in the wilderness of isolation, even the world wonders what you do. Let me get this straight. You're a Christian. Anyone ever said that to you? So what you're saying to me is, you believe the Bible. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus. Sometimes the world has that question of us because of the way that we seem to isolate ourselves. The world around us is in turmoil. There are terrible things happening around us. And there are people in the world. Friends, listen to me. There are people in the world. You know them. You're friends of them. You're neighbors of them. That are more compassionate than many Christians. They care more about the suffering of others. They care more about what's going on in our nation what's going on amongst our natives, what's going on amongst our poor, what's going on about all kinds of things. Now maybe they're misdirected, and maybe they have put all their energy in the wrong place because they don't come for Christ. But listen, they kind of wonder, and you're a Christian, and you don't give them a good. Yeah, Christians can really run into isolation. We can try to live in our holy bubble, shut everything out. Friends, examine what spirit drives you. In your times of solitude, in your times of aloneness, and let me just say this, in your times when you struggle, when things don't seem to be going the way that you think they should be going, did you put you there that God sent you there? See, one of the big differences between this is the spirit of rebellion and the spirit of submission. Jonah went into the wilderness, he experienced all these things, and others got caught up in his, because you know what? Isolationism, it sounds like it's a lone thing, but it's not, because everybody around you suffers. Isolationism is rebellion, but coming and following after the Spirit is submission. There's no holiday from God, no holiday from truth, no holiday from God's calling, no holiday from commitment, no holiday from responsibility. What there is being led by the Spirit. Friends, that's the way we know that we're children of God. That's what the Bible says. By this we'll know. We know we're of God because our Spirit bears witness with His Spirit. We are in touch with His Spirit. We are listening to His Spirit. The Bible says, walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. Our own spirit, our own individual person, if we go on our own, is the flesh. It's the difference between avoiding ministry and preparing for ministry. It's the difference between seeking the will of God and serving our own selves. Notice the duration of these different wilderness experiences. Jonah's wasn't too bad. It was only 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a fish. Jesus was a little longer. It was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness without food or water. Had a little company called the devil. Angels also came and attended after the devil got told to get lost. But it's interesting, the number of three is the number of witnesses. A complete witness. So God, one of the reasons why I believe God is a triune in nature, because Father, Son, and Spirit all are in agreement. There is a witness. But there's also the witness of death. Jesus even referred to this particular number in His saying, when they asked for a sign, He said, I'll give you a sign. I'll give you the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights He was in the belly of a fish. And He was 3 days and three nights in the grave. I said 3 days and two nights, because the Bible said that that's why it only includes Friday is the actual day of His death, because that wouldn't mean 3 nights. But you see, in Hebrew theology, even the day witnesses. One day isn't a credible witness. One is not a credible witness. Two is the minimum witness. And three is the perfected witness. Alright? So you've got to have three. You want the perfected witness of Hebrew. Two will get you there, but three is the thing. So when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he was dead. 3 days witnessed the fact that he was dead, in the sense that the symbol of going into the belly, going into the water, the symbol of the grave. Jesus, of course, made reference to this. And so he was basically, in all intents, he was dead. Thanks be to God, God gave him another chance. You know, that's where our rebellion leads us to. It leads us to death. We don't come out refreshed. We don't come out revigorated. We don't come out renewed when we go on our own wilderness experiences. When we come out, we come in dead tired. We come out spiritually lifeless. We come out of that in hardship. We don't come out of that changed and refreshed. Jesus went into the wilderness and spent 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is the number of spiritual completion of purification or preparation. That's why the Noah and the Ark was 40 days and 40 nights, because it was that purification, it was that perfection of things. Many times you'll see number 40 in the Scripture as a time of completion. Jesus spent the time to complete, to get Himself prepared for the ministry that God was sending Him into. It's interesting, if you read the rest of Jonah came to the Ninevites, and He gave them 40 days to repent. And you can read on. The number of spiritual completion. His wilderness experience wasn't 40 days. His was 3 days, a symbolization of death down there. But He was giving them a chance at life because God was speaking through him, even when he finally got on it and got on the wall. And guess what? Great things happened. Miracles took place. I guess Jonah was right with God. I guess because people got saved, Jonah was right with God. David Wilkerson said this in his ministry, great man of God. He said, I used to think I was right with God because I would go to a crusade and people would get saved. Then I would go back to the hotel, where the fancy hotel where they put me up, and I would watch dirty X-rated movies. David Wilkerson told me that tomorrow back in the early 80s. So God got hold of it. He said, well, you know, people are getting saved. I must be all right with the Lord. Things are happening. Everything must be okay, you know, because I'm getting these good vibes happening. Jonah, when he came, he preached repentance, and the people got right with God, but it wasn't because of Jonah. It wasn't the messenger. It was the message. If you look at Isaiah 37, kind of, we don't have time this morning to do that, but in Isaiah 37, God did a little pre-evangelism help. Called sovereignty of God. In Isaiah 37, the Bible talks about and the angel of the Lord went in and smote the people of Assyria and slaughtered 185,000. And it says Sennacherib the king returned to Nineveh. Prophet Isaiah reports. They lost 185,000 troops. They were smoked and smoked. and the king goes back to Nineveh. And guess who comes later? Jonah. Says, we're there. You're all going to be smoked. We know the God of Israel. You think the message of Jonah, you think that he was so righteous that that's what brought upon the repentance of an entire nation, of an entire city, that this weren't even Jews, weren't even Israelites, weren't even brought up in the Word of God, had no understanding of the Word of God, and yet great and mighty things happened? You think it was because he was so righteous? No, because the message was the message of sovereign God. They were prepared. You're saying the God that just saw it, it didn't say the army, it said the angel of the Lord smote them and killed 185,000. I tell you what, then the messenger walks in, you see God's time, and says, guess what? That, you see the same God that just slaughtered your people when they tried to invade us? Is coming to a city near you. Yeah. I don't think it took them 40 days to repent. You know what happened when they didn't repent? Jonah was severely ticked off. You see, when it's all about you, friends, when your times of isolation, when you get away, when you build walls around yourself from others, from the church, from the Spirit of God, from whatever, when you put walls around yourself, when you isolate yourself, when you peek out of that wall, when you come out, friends, you're the same as when you went in, or worse. But if God's Spirit leads you into an experience, if God's Spirit leads you into a job, if God's Spirit leads you into a relationship, if God's Spirit leads you into a church, if God's Spirit does whatever God's Spirit does, guess what? Even if it's hard, it's preparing you for something better. Is there an amen in your gut? Whereas if you do it on your own, and there are big changes out there, people change, you know, they change everything in an attempt to change themselves. They don't stop seeking the Holy Spirit, not seeking the Lord, but there are Christians out there that change everything. They change pastors, change churches, change jobs, change doctrines, sometimes they even change spouses. In an attempt to make it better. Guess what? They're the same old one that they were when it's not the Spirit that they do. Unless it's the Holy Spirit, it won't change you into the image of Jesus Christ. It won't prepare you for what God has for you. It won't give you a heart of compassion for those who deserve the grace of God the least it can see in your own life. Friends, do you see the difference between isolation and solitude? In your experiences, in your choices, are you being led of God's Spirit, even when it's hard, even when that choice brings you into a desert place, even when that choice does not seem to bring you into a pleasant place, but because you know you're listening to God, because you know you're hearing from God, you will make it through, and you will be better for it. Amen? Have you ever been in that kind of wilderness? But friends, I want you to avoid the wildernesses of yourself. The fleshly detours that bring us into hardship. No, we don't need to. Because God's Spirit is saying some hard things. God's Spirit is going, telling you some difficult things. God's Spirit, you know, nowadays we're so much runners. We run away. We don't handle things. It's interesting. You know, I was thinking about this lad yesterday. You know, Pastor Zaduimana, he says to his youth, he says, you're going to a Harmony Church. 20 college and career age people come there. He never tells them they're going to be camping out in the ground in the rain. They never complain. Well, yes, the pastor said. That's a different culture. Well, that's a different culture. That ain't this culture. If I say something difficult into some people's lives, it's like, well, I can always find another one. Or find someone else that agrees with us. Right? And that's the way we are. We look to find those that will agree with what our Spirit is saying as opposed to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You sense the Lord is calling you into solitude. Jesus spent many times early in the morning with the Lord. I believe the Lord is directing His church into the wilderness. Not as a negative thing, but each one of us will have times and decisions that we will make that others will say, you're crazy, you can't do that. But if you know that God's Spirit is speaking to you in the changes that God is making in your life, and friends, don't be afraid of those. Don't be afraid of those. It's a obedience. It's a blessing. Sister, would you come to help me close? But I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to see you isolate yourself. I don't want to see you waste your time. I don't want to see you waste family's time. I don't want to see you waste your money. I don't want to see you waste all the resources that God has implanted in your life on a trip to nowhere. But God in His Word and God by His Spirit has clearly told you what is right, what you need to do. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Thank you. I'm just wondering today as we close, perhaps you're saying, preacher, you're on a different page than I am. I don't know what you're talking about. And friend, I just encourage you to come to God of Israel. To come into His kingdom. There is a Spirit-led life that you can have if you would turn to Jesus. If you feel like you're the Nineveh, you're not the Jesus or the Jonah, that you're the Nineveh, that you are the wilderness today, that you don't find any life in you, but you find death in you, and you want to come to the life, that I say to you, come to Jesus. Come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I accept You into my life. I repent of my sin. Come into my life. I want guidance. I want leadership. And my life and the world that's been around me has been giving me the wrong advice. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want to say today, I am a Christian. Friend, if that's you today, then just call the Lord. And be sure to tell us. Perhaps you're saying today, I'm in the wilderness. I'm in a wilderness. I know it. I'm in a wilderness right now. There's something going on in my life. And I've been listening to the Lord as you've been preaching. I've been sensing that yes, it's the Spirit that has brought me to this place. It's been a tough decision. It's been hard. But it's the Spirit of God. Would you pray for me, preacher? Because I just need it. Just as the angels attended unto Jesus in the wilderness, I just need the prayers and things. I need prayers just to keep faithful to what God is saying to me. You're in the wilderness. You made a decision. You're in a place. You just need prayer. You just lift your hand to the Lord. He sees your name. I'm there. I'm in the wilderness. I'm in a place of a white horse to pick up with you. Perhaps you're saying today, I'm in a bit of a wilderness, but I'm beginning to think, I'm beginning to question, I'm beginning to listen to what you're saying. I think maybe I went there myself. I need to get out of this. I need to get back on the road. I need to get back from listening to myself and satisfying self and satisfying the culture and satisfying me. I need to start listening to the Holy Spirit. I need to start being led by the Spirit of God in my decisions, even if it gets me to hard places. Oh, preacher. Oh, Lord. You just lift your hand to the Lord. Forget the preacher. Lift your hand to the Lord. Say, Lord God, help me out of here. Help me out of here. Help me out of here. Each one of us. Father, I just pray for everyone here. God, you know the heart. And you desire good and wonderful things. Even if it means experiencing some wilderness. Lord, as a congregation, let's stand. As a congregation, Lord, we embrace your word in this time. As leadership, we embrace your will in our life. We embrace the Spirit leading. Forgive us, Lord, as a church, if we have ever said no to you because we thought it was too hard. In Jesus' name. If you would like prayer of any kind, the altars are here. Welcome. Thank you.